Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, starring the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, and I'm contemplating the acid and alkaline floods in my body.
Well, for the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about metabolic types and what makes people acidic, what makes people alkaline, and how important that is to our body, because if it's out of whack, like a lot of times people hear that if you have those people that have cancer have very acidic, their body's very acidic. Yet on the other hand, we read that, and generally speaking, cancer patients have alkaline, more, their blood is more alkaline than it should be. So we've been kind of going around all this and then we talked about two different metabolic types, and if you do a certain thing with one metabolic type, it will balance you more. But if you do it the same thing with a different metabolic type, it'll make you more acidic. So I think this is an area where, if we're not careful, the kind of the contradictions and everything else just sort of creates all these different permutations, which can cause people to just throw up their arms and say, you know what, I'm just going to have my donut, and whatever happens, happens. And you know, we've had some really interesting discussions about it, and I think today what I'd like to do is get into kind of some of the more, I don't want to say rules of engagement, but get serious. I mean, it's really important. I think this is a really important topic, and it's one that we need to take a little bit of time to help everybody get their head around, because what I'm getting from my conversations from you privately is I could be, and this is what happened a couple weeks ago with that lady who was eating for a particular body type, and it was making her incredibly ill because she wasn't that metabolic type, not body type, but metabolic type. So,
yes. Well, let's put it this way. We understand that the human race is divided about 50-50 on people that need to be corrected or balanced with fruits and vegetables or fats and proteins. That much we understand. What we have been simplifying for people is this. Some folks are too acidic and they need to be brought down to the optimum, towards alkaline. Other people are too alkaline and they need to actually be acidified to be brought into the optimum range. Now, I was simply withholding that. We were just simply saying, oh, you need to be alkalized, and the way you alkalize yourself is by eating the right thing. It's right. You know, broadly speaking, there are really five types. You know, we were talking about one that's dominant by the Krebs cycle, you know, the metabolic, and the other one that's dominated by the endocrine system. So that holds true, but you can have endocrine acid and you can have endocrine alkali, and same, you can have the metabolic acid and metabolic alkali. So you can have fast oxidizers or slow oxidizers. One of them is too acid and needs to be brought up to the alkaline level. The other one is too alkaline and needs to be brought down to be, what's the word, in the optimal range.
Right, to be in that balance.
Right.
And when we're out of balance, whether we're too acidic or we're too alkaline, that's when things like yeast and candida and what we call the bad bacteria start taking over.
Right. Yeah, that will be the condition in the gut. But let's go back to the beginning where you said we read in research that in cancer, most people's blood is too alkaline.
Right.
And it needs to be acidified. And normally, the blood would be acidified by what's in your lymphatic system. You know, it's coming from the digestive and it acidifies the blood, everything's fine. What happens is if you have a lot of toxins in the body, that's what actually forces your lymphatic system to store them, because the toxins are not being removed by the normal organs of elimination. So if you imagine somebody working in some industrial environment where you're pushing toxins into the body, I don't know, whether they're herbicides, pesticides, paint thinners, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You're making the person more and more toxic. The body's cleansing organs, which will be the liver and kidneys in one end and skin in the other, they're just not keeping up with it. So at some point, the body starts storing it. First, it stores it in the buffer, in the lymph. Then it stores it in the fat. Then it pushes it out into cartilage, and finally into the bone.
Okay.
So it's sidebar. When an older person is becoming more acidic, his storage of the alkalizing mineral calcium is being released from the bone back into the circulation, which means that the toxins that have been stored away in his earlier life are now brought into circulation. And I remember distinctly when I put myself on a homeopathic methyl, heavy methyl detox, my body had managed to push away a bunch of the mercury that I had from the amalgams in my mouth. And I forced the mercury out of hiding. All of a sudden, I had it sort of live. You know, it's the best metaphor I can come up with is if you go barefoot strolling at the side of the lake, and you know how they are sort of beautifully clear, but as soon as you put feet on the bottom and stir up the muck, it just goes really muddy looking.
Right, right.
Well, I think something like that was going on in my body. When I took the homeopathics that would stir up the heavy metal toxins, all of a sudden they went into circulation, and I started feeling terribly poisoned.
Yes.
And the symptoms were confusion, inability to think clear, sense of unreality. I wasn't even able to tell about my sensory inputs. I remember standing at the urinal urinating, and I was clear that I was finished. It was, I'm done. And I, shake and put it away. It was still running.
Wow.
And I couldn't tell. I mean, that was a precious scene, of course, because at that point, I'm white shirt, suit and tie in my corporate job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. There's nothing funnier than these suits with yellow stains in the crotch.
So what we're saying, I guess, is that we can stir up all this stuff as we're trying to heal, but we have to be really careful about whether we're actually heading in the right direction or the wrong direction.
Right. And so, for instance, speaking of heavy metals, there are some natural cleansing tools. Cilantro is really good at stirring things up. And chlorella is really good at binding it and getting it out of the body.
Mm.
So if you're trying to do it on your own, you really need to have both. If you don't have both, if you do cilantro and you just sort of stir up the mud, it just makes you feel worse.
Right. What you need is kind of like a filter that scoops up all that gunge and takes it out of your body.
Right. And I have found in my work that the zeolite really works for that.
Right.
So, for people with heavy metal toxicity, the zeolite works marvelously well. Actually, it works great for just about anything electropositive, so I find it to be universally good. But anyway, going back to the thing that we started on, which is to say we were simplifying things, perhaps to the point where it's dumbed down. And maybe it's a good thing, because I think if we make it too complex, people will just say, the heck with it. Too complicated.
Right.
I'm out of it.
Right. So, and of course, we've been talking about it for almost a month now, so everyone should be kind of coming along. Like, hopefully we've brought you along from pretty simple to the concept of metabolic types to how you get acidic and how you get alkaline, and the fact that you could be doing a whole bunch of stuff that you think you may think you're acidic, and you say, okay, to get balanced, I need to be more alkaline. To get more alkaline, I need to eat this stuff and do these things. And in fact, what you're doing is making yourself more acidic,
yeah.
Because we have we have a number of things we want to talk about, but one really good example that came up just before we went on the air was vitamin C. And of course, there's different types of vitamin C.
Yeah.
And, you know, so if I'm taking vitamin C, it's a great supplement, and am I making myself acidic or alkaline?
Right. You need to recognize the difference between ascorbic acid, which is the plain vitamin C crystal, or buffered, which is calcium ascorbate. So right. when you react the vitamin C acid with some calcium mineral, probably calcium carbonate, you end up with calcium ascorbate. So the point is this: in one body type, that is too alkaline, the vitamin C will raise the Okay, for the body that's too alkaline, the vitamin C crystals will bring it to the normal range. But if you're already too acidic, and you add the vitamin C crystal to that blood, it will make it worse.
Right. So now, does this matter what metabolic type you are?
Well, this is what has to do with the metabolic type. It specifically is that, because if you are the type that needs to be brought to normal up as opposed to normal down, you need to get the right thing. Otherwise, you're going to push yourself out of range instead of into range. Did I make it beautifully unclear?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me try, and then you help me. Okay. So
sure.
I'm the metabolic type that needs fats or whatever to get
fats and proteins.
Meat.
Yeah. You're the meat eating type, right?
I'm the meat eating type, and so I'm and let's so I'm probably balanced if I'm eating my meats and that sort of stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So we're talking about the pH is at that range. This is what we mean by balanced. My pH in my blood is at that range that is good for me. Let me say it this way.
Your blood tends to be too acidic on its own. I said it wrong. Too alkaline on its own and needs to be brought into range by slight acidification. That's why it's good for you to eat some protein. It's good for you to eat blueberries. It's good for you to eat the vitamin C crystals raw, not calcium carbonate.
So the ascorbic acid.
Yes, plain ascorbic acid.
Right. Now, if I was the other type,
like me, for instance,
the fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
And you're probably a little acidic, so you need to be a little more alkaline. You would want the calcium ascorbate.
Yes, that's correct.
So we get to TV commercials where we talk about, say, osteoporosis, and people say, well, you need more calcium in your bones,
mm-hmm.
so take this calcium supplement. And, of course, the calcium is an alkalizing material.
Yes.
But because my metabolic type is the other way, I'm actually taking the wrong sort of thing for my problem.
Your type, would be better off with magnesium potassium. And that's why the magnesium baths are so much fun for you.
Right. Which is true. I love those baths.
Right. Whereas, for instance, my wife, she puts on magnesium and she gets a cramp.
I get a cramp and I put on magnesium.
Right.
I was doing hot yoga last week and the calf muscle was just sort of cramping up very little bit.
Tense and twitchy.
Tense and twitchy. The first thing I did was I got the magnesium gel, put it on my hand, I rubbed it all over both of my calves. I was just like
heaven.
In ecstasy.
Yeah, heaven. Total heaven.
Total heaven.
I do that. I mean, before I understood all of this, I go, honey, let me do something for you. I'll massage your legs. I'll massage your feet. I use the magnesium oil on her. And before 2 hours, she's jumping up and around with Charlie horses in her feet, in her legs.
So I guess part of what we're saying is you need to test things out to see and then listen to your body in terms of what happens. But it helps if you know your metabolic type And if you know where you are, oh, I'm this metabolic type and I'm a little bit too alkaline in my blood, or I'm a little too acidic in my blood.
Right. So let's say this. The sugar test, you know, we talked about the dextrose and the cream of tartar.
Yes.
That is very helpful, and that's indicative, and, you know, probably 80% of the time it's going to be strong enough that it will make it clear enough for you that's what you are.
Right.
The rest, well, you're going to have to do some more observation. You might need to go to one of those $600 consultants and go through that, I don't know what it is, about 120 questions quiz, and get yourself, you know, like they'll be asking questions about your emotional states and what makes you feel a little happy, what makes you feel crabby, what are the situations where you feel better, and so on, right? I mean, there are many ways that you're going to be able to put that on a chart, on a square, sort of, where you say, okay, I know where you are. You're in this quadrant.
Right.
And
right.
The other thing that we raised in the previous messages had to do with the connection between the eating for your type, Peter Diademo, and this, metabolic typing. And, you know, in general, in broad strokes, it can be said that this is true, but it's not 100%. I think it has to do with all the travel and crossbreeding that has been taking place in the last 200 years in the human race.
We're all getting kind of mixed up.
Right. I think, you know, 200,000 years ago, or even 50,000 years ago, when, I don't know when this really happened, but when the blood type A split off from the O, you know, when the the plant growers split off from the hunters and gatherers. You know, back then, you had a clear division. I mean, it was this tribe was A, and everybody else was O.
Right,
but
now you got A, B, and
well,
O plus.
Yeah, and things people have been interbreeding, right? So you now have A's having children with O's, and so on. So, you know, the blood ends up being an A, but you're really an O in your metabolic type, and vice versa.
Mm.
So I wouldn't want to sort of draw a real fat line in the sand saying, don't cross this. It could be that even though your blood type says you're this, you might be that.
Yeah. So again, it's like there's we're not talking about a right and a wrong. What we're talking about is really paying attention to your health. Like a few weeks ago, that lady was talking about how she was eating a certain way because she thought her type was a certain type, and it just made her worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, and she persisted, right?
And she persisted because she was so sure that this is what she was when, and maybe she was that in the beginning, but she changed because our bodies are flexible and changeable and things happen, right?
Well, I want to say this. If it makes you feel more miserable, stop. If it makes you happy, do it. Now,
right.
But now, don't do this with drugs, okay?
I mean, right. We're talking about food.
Yeah. You know, we're
talking about blueberries and steak.
You know, refined stuff, whether it's refined sugar or refined oil or refined cocaine or whatever it is, when you process it all the way down to pharmaceutical grade, it loses its original characteristics.
Right.
Everywhere
so we're talking about real food here. We're not talking about manufactured food.
Right. Whatever we're discussing here cannot be refined stuff.
Yeah. So get that out first.
Yeah.
That'll be a big help. I actually wanted to make one point, too, because we've been talking about the importance of our blood pH being in a certain level, and if it's above it, it's acidic, needs to come down. If it's below it, it's alkaline, needs to come up. And it's really important that we have the optimal blood pH in our system, because any deviation from an optimal blood pH, which, by the way, is 7.46, if you want to know what it is, it's going to result in you being unable to utilize the enzymes that you do eat properly. It's going to have a lot, you're not going to be able to absorb trace nutrients, vitamins, minerals, and the fatty acids that we need. So if your blood level if your blood pH is not at an optimum level, you could be, like, you know, we're talking about eating the wrong stuff and getting worse. Well, I mean, you could be eating the right stuff and getting all these trace nutrients that your body needs into your body, but not being unable to utilize that. So,
right. So, yeah, you could be taking the correct mineral supplement, but the yep. wrong kind of vitamin, and it's going to set you off too far off your balance, and you will absorb nothing.
Right. Because it's all about absorbing stuff.
Yes.
Which is really important.
Boy, did we ever confuse everybody now.
No, I think we've kind of clarified a lot of things here.
Okay. So we are actually talking, you know, we're standing on the shoulders of giants here. You know, mm-hmm. If you ever want to look stuff up on the internet, we're talking about the work done by Francis Pottinger and George Watson and William Donald Kelly. Kelly was a dentist who had pancreatic cancer and healed himself, no thanks to the medical system. Pottinger was the fellow who did the cat studies, famous cat studies.
The famous cat studies?
Yeah.
That I'm unaware of?
Oh, okay.
Can you give us a quick overview of the cat studies?
Okay.
For those of us that love cats?
Well, what
if you're a dog person, just bear with us.
I don't know. Maybe it had something to do with how quickly the cats could breed and he was able to keep them in cages and whatever. But the point was that he was feeding cats pasteurized milk. Essentially, okay. No raw food, just cooked food.
Mm.
And by seventh generation, they lost ability to reproduce. By fifth generation, they were losing the sexual differentiation.
Oh.
Essentially, you know, like in second and third generation, they were starting to turn gay. And in fifth generation, they started to be unable to reproduce. And by seventh generation, they were completely incapable of reproducing. So if you are eating like we are eating, the cooked diet, it's not exclusively cooked, right? Not as strict as he did to his cats. You know, we still have people eating some fresh fruit and vegetables here and there.
Right.
But when they are prevalently or predominantly eating the fast food diet that's all store-bought, you know, the people who live in inner city where they are unable to find anything that's fresh.
Yeah, they're living on potato chips and tacos.
Yeah. Yeah, you can...
Coke.
Well, you can go to a fast food restaurant and there will be a token tomato slice or a token shred of lettuce in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that. Anyway, these are the people that are probably going to lose their ability to reproduce as generations roll forward. We certainly are already noticing the rising incidence of things like asthma, allergies, ADD, autism.
Yeah.
It all starts with A, I wonder.
Well, it's the beginning, right?
Anyway.
So we've gone from metabolic type to eating raw or more raw food.
Right. Well, there goes. You know, enzymes are universal. Everybody
universal
needs to have...
need.
Right. Anyway.
So we need enzymes, and if we cook stuff, we don't get the enzymes.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what your metabolic type is, you need enzymes, and if you're not getting them, we're going to have problems.
Correct. And the minerals, you need to have trace minerals. Everybody needs them. As far as the major minerals, well, you know, calcium is pushing the autonomic nervous system in one direction. Magnesium is pushing it in the other. sodium is pushing the parasympathetic in one direction and potassium in the other. So you need to understand which one you are. You know, you could be blithely promoting more sodium. Well, it's a good thing for people that are good at eating meat, because sodium is required to get the metabolites of meat out of the cells. But if you're primarily a fruitarian vegetarian, taking extra sodium is not a good idea.
Right. However, that's extra. We still need some.
Oh, yeah. Sure. I mean, we all sweat, right?
And we're not talking about the white table salt that you get at the local grocery store.
True. We're not.
We just always want to make that point. Because I didn't think there was any other type of salt but that salt. Till I discovered, like, the Himalaya salt.
Right on, yeah.
The real salt, which is just absolutely delicious.
Yes, do you notice how more flavorful stuff is when you use that on it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it just makes it all come alive as opposed to really feeling dead once you're used to the difference.
Yeah, I showed up someplace where the food tasted like it needed salt on it, and I didn't have my usual salt shaker with me, so I just used the salt on the table. I couldn't believe how bitter the thing was to me. You know, like, I really noticed the difference in the taste.
Yeah. And it's just amazing to me how used to things we get, and then once we're... well, like, my son has been eating very cleanly.
Yes.
Like, you know, chicken with just a, you know, some herbs on it versus a cream sauce. And the other day, I forget what it was he had, and it was like immediate. He was like, oh, this isn't very good. In terms of, yeah, I mean, it would have been fine like 3 years ago when he was used to eating, you know, chips and burgers. But now, I mean, he can really tell when it has a negative impact on his body. And I think that's one of the things that as we... You know, as we go through this process of eating for our types and eating more organic, raw, you know, grown nearby type foods, you start to realize what an impact the other types of foods has on your body, and you can really feel it.
Right. I found a really interesting piece of research on the web, which I think is well worth sharing here, which is this particular doctor has spent years understanding the metabolic type and doing some research on the people in his clinic. And here's what they found. Most people with type 2 diabetes, where the group of metabolic types that are fast oxidizers and parasympathetics, while most of those with cancer were group 1, slow oxidizers and sympathetics. So they actually tallied it, and he says, okay, here we go. Diabetes, cancer, and excess weight survey based on analysis of about 1,450 patient files. Group 1, diabetes 28%, cancer 78%, overweight 40%. Group 2, diabetes 72%, cancer 22%, overweight 60%. So let me break it down. On the overweight, the breakdown was 60-40. 60% of the group 2, the fast oxidizers.
Yeah.
In case of cancer, it was 20-80 in favor of the slow oxidizers. And on the diabetes, it was 30-70 in favor of the fast oxidizers. So it should go something like this. If you're fat and type 2 diabetic, you will probably have a less chance to get cancer.
Right.
If you have cancer, you're probably not going to be obese, and you will probably not have diabetes type 2.
Right.
Interesting. So it's going to be one or the other. And that's how it turns out that heart disease kills 50% of the population and cancer kills 30% of the population. So there's about, I think it's 80% of all the deaths are between those two.
Wow.
And so what we're telling here is this. If you understand your nutrition and you have any one of these major conditions, all you need to know is that you're eating against your type.
Right.
So if you have a hint of cancer, understand, you're against your type. So just because you're not overweight or because you're not tending towards type 1 diabetes doesn't mean that you're free, because you might be heading towards cancer.
Right.
Oh, well, I'm so cheerful today. Anyway, the interesting thing is that, indeed, the split is just so obvious. So let me just quote it here. Go something like this. At first glance, this may seem counterintuitive because fast oxidizers, by definition, metabolize carbohydrates fast, leading to their relatively acid blood pH. Fast oxidizers typically have an aggressive insulin response, which effectively unlocks the insulin receptors on the cell membrane to allow glucose to be taken inside the cell to be oxidized for energy. However, if you combine an accelerated metabolism of carbohydrates with the excessive long-term intake of refined carbohydrates that typifies the standard American diet, you have the perfect setup for insulin resistance. Large amounts of insulin produced over the extended period of time will lead to a blunting or reduction of the sensitivity of the insulin receptors, increasingly reducing their efficiency, a process similar to the way in which we can learn to tune out an annoying sustained sound. So as we now know, based largely on the groundbreaking work of Professor Gerald Reven, insulin resistance is the primary predisposing factor for type 2 diabetes. So what he explains is the cause of the screw-up are the refined foods. Even though you are supposed to be eating the fruits and vegetable diet, and you should be theoretically okay with carbs, the reason you have stopped being okay with carbs and become overweight is because you messed it up with refined carbs.
Right. There becomes that distinction again, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. Important. So there's more, and I think we're just going to have to direct people at the Life Enthusiast website. I think what we're going to do, and I haven't done it yet, is put up a whole new education section that deals with the metabolic type. I have it peppered through the section health education, pleomorphism. But if you type the word metabolic type, you will actually find several pages already in there. They're hidden in the website, but I'm going to aggregate it into one place and create some sort of a logical step through, here's what you need to know kind of guide. So come back for more.
Yeah, it's really interesting looking at it, like you were just looking at in terms of type 2 diabetes and cancer, right? And
mm-hmm.
how one group, the slow oxidizer and the sympathetic, you have a lot more cancer than the other group, which is the fast oxidizer and the parasympathetic. But those people have a lot more diabetes. So, you know, what that's telling us is that, you know, both groups are probably overweight and they react to, you know, the wrong eating and not eating for their particular types by probably an increase. I'm not saying it's causal, but you're more likely to have cancer, and the other group, you're more likely to have diabetes. And, of course, we don't want you to have either of those.
That's right. I mean, the objective is to have the blood balanced the right way, not through some chemical intervention.
Yeah. and getting optimum health that way.
Indeed.
Awesome. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to talk to you more about metabolic types and slow and fast oxidizers and all these sort of interesting things that we've been touching on today, how should they do that?
Well, look at the Life Enthusiast, life-enthusiast.com. There's a phone number on the website. It's 1-866-543-3388. Give us a call. We're there. We're restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Thank you for listening today.